a quick slurp of water, and I'm on to another set of questions from Joe Chapman this time. Joe is actually a student at Birmingham City University. I know him well. You'd think he'd knock on my door and ask me these questions, but presumably he's tried and failed. Anyway, he's got six questions. Some of them are easier than others. The first one, how would I define the term citizen journalist? I'd define the term citizen journalist as a very broad term, which has very little use, but broadly means a person who is not professionally employed as a journalist, practicing something that could be seen as journalism by someone. Now, different people will probably limit the definition in different ways, and I've seen various definitions and various sub-definitions, but fundamentally, you know, it could be anything from someone taking a picture of an important event to someone posting a comment to whatever. But in fact, there's a blog post called Distributed Journalism, which again is part of my 21st century model for a 21st century newsroom. Talks about the distributed journalist, and it talks about what you might call different forms of citizen journalism, everything from the accidental journalist to the expert to the technician and so on. So that probably is a good place to go to for an overview of different ways I think you can interpret citizen journalist. Moving swiftly on to question two. As a blogger, how do I consider user-generated content in terms of validity to journalism? Well, again, I think user-generated content is really often a synonym for citizen journalist. The difference, I think, is that user-generated content is often used by publishers because it's a... I don't know how to describe it, really. It's one of those terms which has a very mercenary feel to it. It belies the commercial angle being taken on this. This is content generated by users that we will make money off, pretty much. So, how do I see its validity? Well, again, I think the idea of user-generated content is so broad that it's very difficult to make any generalizations about its validity. Some user-generated content is extremely valuable commercially. Some user-generated content is extremely valuable editorially. A good example would be, you know, real expert knowledge, the sort of expert bloggers you get in the science sphere or people who've worked in a particular industry and have very specialist knowledge. A good example of commercially valuable user-generated content would be valuable footage, for example, that broadcasters will pay a lot of money for. And then, of course, there's completely worthless user-generated content, the sort of stuff that people rant about, you know, ill-informed stuff, rumour, hearsay, whatever. So, you know, the validity of user-generated content varies as widely as the types and the content itself. But equally, you could say the same about journalism. There is very good journalism, there is very poor journalism. So let's not generalise. Let's move on to question three. Do I see user-generated content as an alternative to professional journalism? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I think that's as much as I can say, really. Sometimes it's better than your average piece of professional journalism, sometimes it's worse, but likewise, your average piece of professional journalism is an average. Question four, do I think that citizens can be trusted to make news without professional supervision? Ooh, you get my hackles rising. I was at a debate last week, which is organised by UNESCO for World Press Freedom Day, and there was a speaker who I blogged about this, Caroline Thompson from the BBC, kind of spoke in similar terms, this idea that people could not be left alone to exchange comments on politics without journalists being there to provide understanding. And I think this always reminds me of the way that people talked when women wanted the vote, or when people wanted the vote extended to everyone above a certain age in the country. And you had these kinds of arguments that people, you know, women should not be allowed to vote because they were illogical creatures. That, you know, people who were not gentlemen could not be allowed to vote because they were not properly educated or guided or whatever. It's a really, I think it's incredible that you get this sort of discourse about what you might call amateur journalism. You know, let's remember that the word amateur simply means not paid. There are amateur athletes. You know, the whole spirit of the Olympics, amateurism, is about achieving extremely high standards, regardless of whether you're being paid for it or not. So I think people are perfectly capable of executing fantastic pieces of journalism without being paid for it. You know, let's make a separation here between the commercial part of publishing and the content, the editorial element of writing, of journalism. You know, the fact that you are paid to do something just means that it is commercially viable, that it is profitable. It does not necessarily mean that it's profitable. You know, let's look at porn. You know, does, let's say, you know, a hardcore porn writing, it might be very profitable, it might not be very good. So, you know, let's not conflate the two. You can have fantastic journalism regardless of whether it's being paid for or not. Now, if you pay someone to do something, you can expect it to be regular, you can expect it to be accountable to some extent, and there are certain benefits to paying people to do things, but that does not mean that not paying them means the absence of those things. And there are other motivations, you know, passion, you know, actual kind of democratic engagement. So, yes, I think citizens can be trusted to make news without professional supervision, and sometimes the absence of professional supervision, the absence of commercial elements, can make for better journalism. Let's not forget that. Moving on. Question 5, is user-generated content challenging professionals to start improving their content? Absolutely, I think so. I think this is one of the exciting things about the internet, whether you call it user-generated content or not. Ultimately, we as journalists have to raise our game. You know, we cannot rely, we cannot rest on the laurels of the fact that we've got a job as a journalist anymore, because there are millions of other people out there reporting on the same things who know more than we do. And we've got a choice. We can either up our game, or we can work with them, or we can do both. But what we can't do is carry on doing what we did before and bury our heads in the sand and pretend that things are just the same as they always have been. And as I blogged again recently, you know, journalism is not a zero-sum game. The fact that there are more people practicing it does not mean that it's worse. It means there's more of it, and maybe we have to change our role as professional journalists to manage some of that. But it doesn't mean that we lose out as journalists. It just means we have to change. Let's see if I can squeeze in a final answer before my time limit runs out. Oh, this is an easy one, so probably. How often per day would I say I read something worth reading from a citizen on online forums and blogs? How often per day do I read something worth reading on a blog? Every day, easily. It's simple. I don't read forums particularly, but blogs, yeah. In fact, quite often it's more informative than what I would get from the mainstream press. Mainly because it's more specialist to what I'm interested in, whereas mainstream journalism tends to be generic by nature. So there you go. I've beat the time limit. I hope that's useful, Joe.